With us now is Victoria Yeager, and you and General Chuck Yeager have had a long history. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but you've been with him and here at Air Venture for a number of years, and so we're very happy to have you back. And are you enjoying the show so far?
Yes, sure. It's great to be back with friends like you, Steve. What brings me back are the people.
Yeah, and again, EAA founder Paul Pober, isn't he, was often quoted as saying, it's the airplanes that bring us here, it's the people that bring us back. And it really is true. I mean, there's a number of folks that I've met this week, and we pick up a conversation almost as if we had talked an hour ago, but it's been 51 weeks.
Right, right.
It'll be the same here.
Right.
So with your background and your memories, what are some of your favorite Chuck Yeager stories?
Oh, my goodness. You put me on the... So actually, I was
You have so many that you've actually written a couple of books.
Exactly. Yeah. I was out at the Warbirds, and Chuck's P-51 and his colors was here, Glamour Splend 3, and that owner is terrific. So it's great to have a great owner that keeps it up. And then there was the ME-262. So, of course, Chuck was at a seminar, and this other guy was talking about how he shot down this guy, but he was twisting and turning and making it really difficult. And Chuck said, the bigger you make the opposition, the bigger here you are for hacking it.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, General Yeager, you shot down it. And he said, first time I saw a jet, I shot it down. Yeah. I mean, how many people can say that? So it's fun to see the ME-262. And as you know, the story was he saw an ME-262. He headed towards it, and it turned around and zipped past. It was much faster as a jet from the P-51 prop plane. But he kind of followed it a little bit, the direction where he went. And then he saw that it was on final. It had his flaps down and its gear down. And so he shot it down, and he said, unsportsmanlike, but what the hell? But he also learned not to shoot something from directly behind, because pieces would come at him.
Sure.
And so he did it from the side. And then the other great story about him is when after he was shot down, he got back to England, and they kept saying, we have to send you home, because if you're shot down and tortured, you might give up. And so he goes all the way to General Eisenhower, who says, I got people shooting themselves in the foot to go home. What's the matter with you? Why don't you want to go home? And he said, I haven't done my job. So he said, go back to your base. Do not get on combat. And then about 6 months later, November 12th, he shoots down October 12th. He then shoots down 5 airplanes on one mission, so he becomes an ace in a day.
Right.
And as he told the story, the first 2 airplanes were in front of him, and he got behind them, and they saw Yeager was behind them, and they turned into each other and crashed, and he got credit. So that's pretty fun.
It certainly is. And you've been working to keep his legacy alive and relevant for a number of years. And I mentioned the book. So tell us about the latest book.
So the latest book is What a Ride, and that's that is going to go on his memorial market at Arlington, because that's how he felt about life. And he also, another saying he had was, I've had a ball. That was at the end of one of his books.
Yeah.
So the book is What a Ride, and it's a short story, so you don't get bogged down about our lives together.
Yeah.
And it's it would start out 1,200 pages, but don't worry, it's under 400. And one of the greatest stories I love is when we went to Kuwait, and we were visiting the troops. It took me 11 years to get the DOD to accept that the troops wanted to see Chuck.
Yeah.
And they put it out to all the bases, and they were hoping somebody would come back. They all came back. And so we went over, went to Kuwait. No one was there to pick us up. And so 2 hours later, we finally get somebody. We go to the Army base, and then the next day, we go out and visit all the bases in Kuwait. We can't take the helicopter because there's a sandstorm. So we drive to all these places. We get back, leave at 8, get back at 10:30 at night. Have to leave at 1 to go take the plane into Afghanistan. We land, and they say we're going to Kabul. It's not K-A-N-D-A-H-A-R. We're in Kandahar.
Okay.
They scramble to try to figure out, and then they get us on another plane, a C-141. Chuck's in the navigator seat, which is now obsolete, but there's a seat there.
Yes.
Pilot, co-pilot, and we take off. And Chuck says, oh, where are we going? And they look at each other like, oh, this old man, he doesn't know. I was about to knock it. You know me.
Yeah.
About to knock heads. And so I said, look, they said we're going to Kabul. You don't spell it Kandahar, right? And so they said, oh, sorry, ma'am, sorry, sir. And then we were going another 15 minutes, and Chuck says, break! And they said, what? And he said, break! And they said, which way? And he said, anyway, coming right at you. So he does this, they do this big old wing over, this big old cargo plane.
Yep.
There's guys in the back, I hope they're strapped in. And just as we're going straight and level, a plane comes the other direction where we'd just been. We go another 15 minutes, and Chuck goes, don't you guys look out the window? I mean, we're in a no radar zone.
Yeah.
I was like, you are sitting in that seat every plane we take.
Amazing. That was one of the things his eyesight was really, really good.
Until the day he died.
Yes.
And he would look out 50 miles on the ground. when he, especially during World War II, and then he'd bring it up to the air, and then he'd let his eyes naturally retract, which is 20 feet is where we naturally look, mm-hmm. and that's how he could tell where the enemy was. He was really amazing. Yeah. But you know, one of the things about, you know this, he was chairman of the Young Eagles, and that's how we really got to know you very well, known you for, what, 20? I've known you for 25 years.
Yeah,
he knew
like
you
that.
For, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
So I wanted to know about some stories that...
Stories, and I had to recall one that just actually came up on Monday. David Lighting, who is now in charge of the Young Eagles program, he was a Young Eagle with Chuck on one of the DC-3 flights, and we think, David's trying to remember, but we talked about it on Monday, was, I think, 2003, and that was right out here at Air Ventures. So the as the chairman of the Young Eagles program, he took a number of kids up in the DC-3, and at that time, we could put him in the left seat and fly a little bit, right? And that was an inspiration for David, who then went on to get his private pilot certificate, and he's continuing his training. He's now married and has a family, but he's also on staff here at EIA, and he's in charge of the Young Eagles program. So it came completely in circle, and that's one of the things that was wonderful. It continues to be wonderful about the program is that it inspires people to reach for their dreams, and whether they're a pilot or not, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that they see the world in a different way. And
absolutely.
I know from being lucky enough to be on a number of those flights with Chuck, either in the DC-3 or the Ford Trimotor, just to watch, first of all, the kids, and they always have great reactions, right? But his reaction to their reaction was wonderful, because you knew he's done so many things, right? But this was something that he got real pleasure and joy out of doing.
Yeah.
And so that was always fun to watch all those reactions. And the flights were never long enough.
Right, yeah, no.
Could have gone for hours.
And then we had Baron Hilton on there taking the pictures.
Yep.
Chuck told one story about a little girl. She couldn't see anywhere. She could barely see over the wheel. Mm-hmm. And this is in the tri-motor. And he said, okay, push down and we'll go down. And she pushed really hard. And he said, the kids in the back probably hit the ceiling. And then he said, okay, pull back, we'll go. And she pulled back really hard. He just got a kick out of them.
Yeah. It was wonderful. And also a few years we did Make-A-Wish flights as well, which, again, wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And sharing the passion of aviation with other people has always been a great thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So. And he also flew his grandson's football team.
He
said, if you're undefeated, I'll fly all of you. So I flew all of them, and there was one kid that had never been in an airplane, he'd barely been in a car.
Yeah.
And so they were all scaring him. Oh, he's going to scare you. And that kid just came out, as you say, with big smiles, opened his world. Yeah, yeah, it's really great.
Amazing, yes. And one of my favorite memories, because you said you were going to ask.
So I did.
I'll just lead into it right now. Is when back in 2003, when the 1 millionth Young Eagle was flown, we went to Kitty Hawk. We were going to do a flight there with the 1 millionth Young Eagle to commemorate the program reaching its goal. And the weather was terrible.
It started stinking, as he would say, right? Stinking.
Yeah. It was not so bad in the morning, but the afternoon when we were supposed to do the flight, the ceilings came down. It was raining. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And so we rescheduled for January out near you in California, where you're living. And Grass Valley, I think, is that the airport?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And so we did that flight. And again, in General Yeager took the Young Eagle in the Husky. And it was beautiful, it was sunny, and as soon as they landed, the fog rolled in, and it was like, well, he must have a hotline somewhere, right? So we got that in, and you were kind enough to let me stay at your house that night, and I remember having ice cream with Chuck, watching, at that time, the Wings Channel, and there was a program about a Russian aircraft, I don't remember what it was, but as the narrator was talking about all the specs on the airplane, Chuck would go, no, that's not right. No, that's right. That's not right. So that was great. And then the next day, one of my favorite flights, he put me in the backseat of the Husky, and we flew over Lake Tahoe. And it was just the most, first of all, a gorgeous setting. And second of all, you know, he's one of the greatest pilots ever, right? So it was magnificent. So, yeah.
Well, in little known fact, the ice cream you ate, he made. It was honey vanilla ice cream,
yes,
right?
Yes,
delicious,
it was,
right? Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, wait, this isn't supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about you.
I'm enjoying this.
If someone would like a copy of your books.
I'm actually...
You've got two books. You've got the What a Ride and then 101 Yeagerisms,
right,
which is another great book.
Thank you. That is fun. And also, I've also got copies of Yeager, his book that sold 1.2 million.
Yeah.
I'm actually at a booth called The Gold Lady Elizabeth, the Gold Lady. It's in Hangar C, 3090. Okay. So thank you very much for talking about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, the Gold Lady has been here for a number of years, and I don't want to tell you how many, but it's a few.
well, the Gold Lady's no longer, her son is here. That's how many years. So.
Okay. And that was that's been a favorite of Air Venture visitors for many, many years. So you're in Hangar C. That's great. Stop by and take a look at the book, meet you, say hello.
Tell me Chuck Yeager stories. Yes. I've had many people stop by and tell me these great stories.
Yeah.
In fact, Mr. Johnson told me some, too. He was really... do we have time to tell
you? Sure.
So he was saying that Chuck was there, and his raised wife wanted to get a signature autograph on the back of her on her jacket. And so she had asked, sir, could you sign the back of my jacket? He said, I'd rather sign your front.
Yeah.
And then he looked at Ray and he said, you don't have a gun in your pocket, do you? You know, that's so Chuck. And for the audience, anybody that didn't know Chuck, he's just kidding.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Yeah. Stop by in Hangar C. What's the booth number again?
3090.
All right. Sounds good. Victoria,
thank you very much. Great to see you, Steve.
Thank you for stopping by. And it is always good to see you. And enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
All right. This is EIA Radio.